Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
En The Home Depot, te traemos el secreto para tener el mejor jardín. Empieza agregando Miracle Grow Soil a tu jardín. Tiene todo lo que tus plantas necesitan para crecer fuertes. Llévate ahora en compra especial 4 bolsas por $10. Después, mantén alejadas las malas hierbas con Scott's Earth Grow Mulch. Ahora 4 bolsas por $10. Y listo. Nadie tiene por qué enterarse. Llévate todo para tu jardín con los ahorros de Memorial Day en The Home Depot.
Off the ball, GAA.
Everyone was saying Leinster was dead, but like for a lot of ways, the GAA was almost dead. You know, that Dublin team were generational. Like, you'll never see the likes of that again.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off the Ball
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening. You're welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. All eyes on Bilbao this evening for Tottenham Hotspur versus Manchester United in the Europa League final. We're going to be watching all the way through until 10 o'clock and potentially beyond tonight on Off the Ball. Also, over the next 3 hours, we're going to bring you a brilliant interview with Westmead footballer Boydou Seya. He's been in conversation with Kathleen as part of our Settling series. It's a brilliant chat that's coming up after 8 o'clock. From 7:30, we've got Jerry Thornley in fine form on Wednesday Night Rugby. He's not having Willie John McBride's comments on the non-British, non-Irish players in the Lions squad. He is not having Thursday Night Rugby, and there's plenty more to discuss with him as well. Bohemian COO Daniel Lambert is also going to join us in the football show between 9 and 10. He's going to talk about Bose's social impact report, which was published this week, and there was an event at the Mansion House yesterday, which is really interesting. So we're going to chat to Daniel after 9 o'clock. And the top question really this evening is, how are the Tottenham fans feeling? How are the Manchester United fans feeling? You can let us know on WhatsApp. 0879 180 180 is our number. Cameron Hill, a very good evening to you.
Good evening, Owen.
And Keith Tracy, I'm delighted to say, is with us in studio for the evening. We could be in for the long haul here, Keith.
Yeah, we could be. It's been given the big build-up, and a lot of people have said to me, isn't this just going to be the most Manchester United and Spurs thing ever, and it'll be a nil-all bar fest? But I think the two defences are way too vulnerable to keep two clean sheets. So I think we'll see a final that'll be full of mistakes, full of drama, and hopefully full of little bits of magic here or there.
Who do you want to win?
I'm really not sure, you know. I'm honestly not sure. If United win, brilliant. You know what? And as an Arsenal fan, I realise this is probably a little bit strange to say, but given everything that Ange has been through, and I really liked him in his first couple of months as a coach, as a manager. He was coming out, his interviews were brilliant, and he's just got a little bit annoyed over the last couple of months. So I'd love him to win it, because then he can walk away, and I do think he's going to walk away. I'm not sure if he'll be sacked, but one thing I am sure of, he won't be at Spurs next season, win or lose this final. I'd like to see him walk away with his head held high and say, look, I come here, I got a trophy, and it is what it is. So maybe for Ange, coming from an Arsenal fan is strange, but yeah, possibly Spurs maybe tonight.
The Tottenham Hotspur 11 is Vicario in goals. Their strongest back four of Porro, Romero, Van de Ven and Udogi. In midfield, it's Pap Sarr, Bazuma and Bentancur. And then up front, it's Brennan Johnson, Solanke and Richarlison, which means that Heung-min Son is on the bench tonight for Tottenham Hotspur. For Manchester United, it's Onana in goal, a back three of Shaw, Maguire, Yoro, Dorgu and Mazraoui on the wings, Bruno Fernandes and Casemiro in midfield, and then it's Mason Mount, Amad Diallo and Rasmus Højlund. The return of Xerxes to the bench is probably the big news in terms of their squad tonight. He is fit. He hasn't played since April, but he is fit enough to make the bench tonight, and Alejandro Garnacho is on that bench as well. So Those are the teams. Heung-min Son not starting a final. Is that big for you, or was this always going to be the way it was going to happen?
Yeah, like Son hasn't had the best season in the world. You can understand why he's been left out, but you're thinking, well, the fella who's coming in must be a very good player, and it looks like on paper it's going to be Richarlison playing in Son's position. So you look at that and you think, I'd fancy Son, to be honest with you. I know he hasn't been in good form, but you know, in these big, big games, the lads who have that talent, you know, we've seen Son over the last couple of years win a game single-handedly for Spurs. So I'd have probably put him in, but look, given the form he's in, you can totally understand why Richarlison is in there. And I can't imagine Richarlison to be standing out on the left wing trying to get up and down. It might even drop into some sort of a 4-4-2. We'll have to wait and see. But Solanke seems to have the golden touch against Manchester United. He scored in his last couple of appearances against them. And I think the start is going to be absolutely massive here. Over the three games that Spurs and United have played each other this season, Spurs have took the lead in all three games inside the first 15 minutes. So United are going to have to start really, really quickly here, and just I think they'll have to weather a little bit of a storm before they can wrestle the initiative in the game.
Mason Mount was brilliant the last day in the Europa League for Manchester United. Was it clear cut for you that he was always going to start this fixture, especially when you have, it's probably him versus Ugarte versus Mainoo for one spot in that team, and he's gone for Mount?
Yeah, I think when you look at the midfield that Spurs have, Sarr, Basuma, Bentancur, Basuma and Sarr in particular, they're very, very athletic and get up and down really quickly. In the United midfield, when you've got Casemiro in there, I wouldn't go as far to say you're down a body, but he's not going to be zipping all over the place, Casemiro. He has some good attributes still at his age, but getting around the pitch is not one of them, so you need legs in and around him. Mount has those legs, and yeah, I'm hearing Garnacho was not too happy with Diallo and Mount. You can understand why. Garnacho's been around all season, but again, his form hasn't really been anywhere near what it should be for a boy of his talent, not really a man just yet. But yeah, Mount and Diallo in there, Ahmad Diallo. I think Ahmad coming in, being such a young boy, a lot of those older United players, Hoyland, Mount included, even, you know, Fernandez, Masrau, will be looking at Ahmad Diallo and thinking, thank God you're here. Because he has shouldered the weight of that Manchester United for a long time. And when he went injured, it was, you know, really, really poor. So I'm sure a lot of Manchester United fans are delighted to see Ahmad back.
You say you want Tottenham to win. Do you have an inkling in terms of knowing who's going to win? It's impossible to call. I haven't seen anybody make a case that's persuaded me.
No, I've no idea. Honestly, it's not these two teams are as strong as each other. It's these two teams are as bad as each other. And that's more of a Premier League thing. But when you look at the teams that Manchester United have beat, I think United have beat a better calibre of team to get to the final. Where you look at Spurs, Bodo Glimt, Eintracht Frankfurt, AZ Alkmaar, you know, these aren't heavyweights of European football. And again, it's not the Champions League, so you can understand. And with the teams not dropping down from the Champions League, the tournament, the Europa League hasn't been quite as strong as you might have thought. But look, it's still a brilliant achievement, and I think if United get Champions League football or Spurs get Champions League football in 3, 4, 5 years, nobody's going to say, oh, but that was an awful Premier League season from Spurs or Manchester United. It's just about winning this game. And look, I think if you're a player, you're licking your lips, because it's been so bad for so long at both clubs in terms of the league performances, but you've got 90 minutes to turn it around tonight. And
yeah,
look, I wouldn't say it was a success for either team if they win this, but it's a little bit more palatable.
The news round is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. And tonight's news round is brought to you by Cameron Hill. Cameron, you are starting with matters in Bilbao.
Yeah, surprise, surprise, Owen. United, of course, hoping to round off a miserable season domestically with a trophy tonight in the Europa League final. Manager Ruben Amorim admits, however, that a win tonight won't fully paper over the cracks.
The different way, because winning a European title is really important. But again, nothing is going to change our season. Players know, everybody knows, the staff knows, the fans knows.
David's been in touch to ask a question. If Manchester United win tonight and Manchester City finish fifth, does that mean that they've had a better season than City?
Oh, no. Let's not start getting into all these realms. I've had these fights in my house with the Manchester United fans and Spurs fans going down the streets. Oh, we'd rather be in the Spurs or United dressing room than the Arsenal dressing room because yous have won nothing. Arsenal have been in Champions League semi-final, second in the league, and possibly going to finish second. I don't think you can compare it. I don't think you can lose, 21 games in a Premier League season. Spurs have lost, and they can turn around to Arsenal and say, well, you know, we'd rather be in our dressing room. I'm sure if those Spurs players and United players were being totally, totally honest, they'd much rather be in an Arsenal dressing room.
You're not buying the talk that, you know, Harry Kane has won more trophies than City this year, ergo Harry Kane and United could have a better season than City. You're not taking that at all.
No, look, I think City are still... It's been a poor season by their standards, but I don't think you can turn around with the Europa League and think, oh, well, we've outclassed Manchester City this season. It's you know, the Champions League is an awful lot stronger. And as I say, if a couple of teams, as in the previous form, I had a drop down from the Champions League, I don't think this final would have happened. I think the likes of a Juventus, a Sporting Lisbon, a Manchester City would have easily gone past the Spurs or a Manchester United. So I think you have to take it with a pinch of salt. It's still a brilliant achievement. I don't want to take anything away from Spurs and United. But yeah, it's still an understrength European competition.
You've got the Tottenham side of things as well, Cameron.
Yeah, they're aiming to end a 17-year wait for silverware tonight. Ange Postecoglou insists that winning their first trophy since 2008 is a bigger deal for the club than qualifying for the Champions League.
I came into the club with some pretty clear objectives about getting the club to a position where you know, they can challenge for trophies, and there is an opportunity to fulfil at least the main task I was sort of given, and that is to bring trophies to the club.
Again, it's pretty much a mirror image of the Manchester United question, but Postecoglou was kind of hinting at the fact that maybe if he wins tonight and has a trophy to show for his efforts as Tottenham manager, it's a better outcome than, say, fifth last year or fifth this year.
I'm not too sure. I'm really not too sure. And again, look, it's a little bit different from a Spurs point of view, but...
What about for the fans? Like, they get this big moment tonight with a trophy. Is that not more significant than finishing fifth in terms of a higher, precise 90 minutes?
Yeah, but I don't think the Spurs fans... Look, the Spurs fans want the trophy because they haven't had a trophy in 17 years, but yeah, the real prize on offer tonight is Champions League qualification. You know, I wouldn't say they're not bothered about the trophy. The trophy's a little bonus on the side of Champions League qualification. So, yeah, this final is all about Champions League qualification. So you can say it's been a great season and we've gone in the back door of the Champions League. It's, you know, they've got here... Again, it's not luck, but it's sort of a back door, isn't it? And, if this, the reason this leaves a sour taste in the mouth, if this was a Bournemouth or a West Ham or, you know, a so-called lower team were in the Premier League and they didn't have a great season and they've got a backdoor into the Champions League, we're saying, isn't it brilliant for a club like Bournemouth or a Brighton or a West Ham? The fact that they're big, big, huge elite clubs within Britain, you're thinking, they don't deserve that. They've been really, really poor for so long in the Premier League and they're getting a backdoor into the Champions League. And I know within the Europa League, they've been, Manchester United in particular, have been really good, haven't been beaten the tournament yet. But the level of opposition isn't great. And it's all about Champions League qualification. I don't think anybody be talking about the trophy.
Is that the side that hurts the most? Is the fact that they were out of the top four and the top five conversation for so long this year? Like, it was so done. That's probably the bit, because it just feels like it's crept up again. No, someone realised maybe a month ago, oh, hang on, one of them could qualify for the Champions League. Isn't that mad, having come 14th?
And it's crazy, because people say to me when Arsenal were playing PSG in the round before that in the Champions League, they were saying, oh, yous aren't a big club, yous are going all in the Champions League, yous can't compete on all fronts. And then these are the Spurs and United fans that are saying this sort of stuff to me, and I'm going, well, Spurs aren't competing on all fronts because they've been absolutely awful. They're the two lowest ranked surviving clubs in the Premier League, and for Spurs and Manchester United, that's just nowhere near good enough. So I don't think winning the Europa League saves either season by a long, long stretch. And look, it is what it is. You're in a European final. You go hell for leather to win it. But at the end of the day, when you look yourself in the mirror, even if you've got a medal in your back pocket, it still hasn't been a good season.
45 minutes to kick off in Bilbao.
Impact confirmed. The Slayer has been activated.
Demonic threat level increasing.
Hold the line!
Everything will be destroyed. We need him.
Our enemy is divided. Focus on breaking the humans. I can never rule so long as you are the only one they fear. All the power of hell cowering before one man.
Id Software presents Doom: The Dark Ages. Stand and fight to become the super weapon of gods and kings in a medieval war against hell. Available now on Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 5 and PC.
Rated M for mature.
En The Home Depot, te traemos el secreto para tener el mejor jardín. empieza agregando Miracle-Gro Soil a tu jardín. Tiene todo lo que tus plantas necesitan para crecer fuertes. Llévate ahora en compra especial 4 bolsas por $10. Después, mantén alejadas las malas hierbas con Scott's Earth Grow Mulch. Ahora 4 bolsas por $10. ¿Y listo? Nadie tiene por qué enterarse. Llévate todo para tu jardín con los ahorros de Memorial Day en The Home Depot.
38% of Ohio's teenagers have spent money on gambling in video and online games. And the earlier a child is introduced to gambling behaviors, the higher the risk of experiencing a gambling disorder as an adult. Start the conversation at changethegameohio.org.
This week on Diverted.
I mean, I woke up at like 11:30. I cracked a cold one with the boys. We had some buffalo chicken dip this afternoon.
It's the only way to do it. It's the only way to do it. It's the only way to do it in Gainesville, baby.
Yeah. We are in the United States. We're talking college football, Hialeah in Miami, and we're talking pillow fighting.
It's still combat sports. The transition from bare knuckle to pillow fight is good because I'm also a Tai Chi instructor, so you know you got to go from hard to soft.
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
This, I guess, Cameron, would have been top story today if it wasn't for the Europa League final, but a massive day for Irish cricket.
Yeah, lots of football to get through on, but we'll jump out to talk cricket because Ireland have clinched a first ever ODI win over the West Indies on Irish soil today. Andy Balbirnie's side batted first in Clontarf and set a target of 303 runs after 50 overs. The tourists were then bowled out for 179 runs, sealing a 124 win for the hosts. The two sides meet again for the second in their three-match series at Castle Avenue on Friday.
Talk us through this. You were watching this afternoon?
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. I mean, they looked pretty home and hosed midway or very early on when the West Indies batted. So they won the toss and elected to bowl first. And Ireland put together this incredible run. It's been a slightly difficult year for Irish cricket in terms of their performances on a couple of different fronts. The women's missed out on qualification for the World Cup, but this was the day where they really delivered. Paul Sterling became the first batter to reach 10,000 runs. Andy Balbirnie hit a century as they set that target of 303 earlier. They went in for the break. They had 5 wickets for just 31 runs for the West Indies going on. That moved up to 6 wickets and 71, and then it kind of went, it looked like it might slip away, or not slip away, but you didn't want it, West Indies to lose because they'd run out of overs. You wanted Ireland to bat them all out, and they went on a 96 run, if that makes sense, before the 7th wicket, and managed to get it over the line. It's a fantastic result.
You mentioned the run of wickets in bowling from Ireland. Barry McCarthy was inspired by all accounts. We were looking at this earlier on. 4 for 32, extraordinary from him. And then you mentioned Balbirnie as well, 112 from 138 balls. So this is the first of a few games this week. Game 2 of the series, Friday, back at Clontarf again. Game 3 on Sunday is now officially a sellout. I dare say if the weather holds up, might be a few half days taken for Friday, and that might edge towards a sellout as well. So this is absolutely extraordinary. Ireland beating the West Indies by 124 runs.
And not just beating them, Nathan Johns' piece in the Irish Times makes a very good point. It's very rare that Irish teams hammer someone in cricket. And that's what this was. The fact that they were coasting for so long and maybe let it slip. The optimism there to maybe win a series of ODIs against such a strong team, against the West Indies. And I know Jer Sikkens was writing about the history of the rivalry between the two teams. But that's just an incredibly good feel-good story.
Yeah, for sure. You are returning to the football?
Yeah, let's dip back in because the Republic of Ireland's hopes for qualifying for Euro 2028 received a major boost today. The UEFA Executive Committee confirmed that 2 spots will be reserved for the 2 best ranked host nations who don't qualify automatically. It means that if 2 of England, Scotland and Wales make it out of their qualifying group, Ireland will be guaranteed a place in the finals.
So we are officially supporting all of the nations in this part of the world at this point, Keith. We're hoping for 2 of the 4 to get through. Of course, you know, there's every chance that the Republic of Ireland manage to do it on their own, but In which case, today I feel English, today I feel Scottish, today I feel Welsh.
Yeah, no, I've always had a soft spot for the Scottish and the Welsh. I've always always looked at them, always wanted them to win. I think the English will get through. They'll breathe through as they always do. They will get out. So
imagine if they pull the Steve McLaren on it now, a Euro 2008 job, and they don't actually qualify for this. It would cost us. Imagine if Scotland or Wales qualify and England fail to qualify, and that is the reason why Ireland don't qualify for a home Euros.
No,
it would be spectacularly Irish.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy of events that could absolutely happen. And I'm now that you've entered that possibility into the canon, I'm scared.
Surely we're there. We can start planning a major tournament, no?
We're just about there. Like I say, I think the English will get out. So I think the Welsh are a very strong team. The Scottish, I love how the Scottish go about a 5-3-2 system. Keep two up front and Scott McTominay's running power through the middle. Yeah, I wouldn't be too strong on our chances just with the Irish team, because I think we've been so flaky for so long now that there's very little confidence in that Irish team. But with the Welsh and the Scottish and the English also in our back pocket, yeah, I think we have half a chance.
Yeah, it's looking good. Jim Crawford was out speaking today, Cameron.
Yeah, he selected 3 League of Ireland players in his squad for next month's friendlies against Croatia and Qatar. So Cork City teenager Colin O'Sullivan has earned a first call-up, while Shamrock Rovers' Corey O'Sullivan and Drogheda United attacker Warren Davis are also included. He's also brought in Manchester United midfielder Jacob Devaney and Sheffield Wednesday goalkeeper Killian Barrett into the squad for the first time. Now, Crawford was speaking to our own Stephen Doyle this afternoon, and he stressed the importance of the government following through on its promise to support the development of Irish football academies.
In order for us to have a successful academy structure in place, in order for us to have an industry, you know, for the coaches to get better, for the players to get better, we need, you know, financial support. You know, so I don't want to go over old ground because enough people have said it, but, you know, it's to help, you know, our individual players are you know, and as important as that is our coaches. You know, they need to be on the grass every day. Our players need quality contact time. We always talk about we need more contact time, but it has to be quality contact time. Because having unbelievable contact time with the wrong coach, with a coach who's not up to speed, it could be detrimental to a player's development. So it's having the right contact time with the right coaches. In order to have that in place, We need an industry, you know. We need support from the government and otherwise to you know, help our footballers develop and reach their potential.
It feels like it's important to start banging this drum again, because the sound of that beat has sort of diminished over the past few months. Not much has happened under the new government on any front, but I think there's a danger that this academy funding might just fall between the cracks, Keith.
Yeah, and I know it's desperately needed. You know, Jim is talking about contact time with the players. You go into any academy, any League of Ireland academy, and you're literally fighting for space on the pitch. You want to do technique sessions, which, look, a lot of our lads get into force teams, and the likes of a Mason or a Michael Noonan at Shamrock Rovers. Throughout the years, when you're younger, you're getting, well, in England, I was getting technique sessions, you know, shoved down my throat, and it was sort of this is what you have to do. When you're award after this, Keith, is we'll get the balls out and we'll do a little bit of football stuff for you then. But, you know, I'm talking probably 6 hours a day of technique work, and you can't get 20 minutes of a little bit of a pitch to do technique work with the League of Ireland lads. And I understand what coaches are saying, you know, there's other stuff we want to get to, Keith, but technically you need to be a very, very polished footballer to play at the top level. And like I say, when the lads are fast-tracked into the force team, the technical side of it probably gets neglected a little bit, because you're playing game after game after game. Your body's developing. You've got little bumps here or there. So it's desperately, desperately needed. We want to take that next level, the aligned calendar. We need, you know, I couldn't even put a number on the amount of finance we need to get the things up to scratch. But again, the product on the pitch is going from strength to strength, and that's the main thing. And hopefully now the things around that can start moving forward also.
Yeah. Speaking of domestic football, Johnny Kenny came up in conversation with Brendan Rodgers earlier. Cameron?
Yeah, he certainly did. And Rodgers believes there's a lot more to come from him. So the Sligo native returned to his parent club Celtic in January after 2 seasons with Shamrock Rovers, scoring 5 goals for Stephen Bradley's side during their Conference League campaign this year. Rodgers was thrilled that Kenny got his first goal in his first start for Celtic against Aberdeen last week.
Didn't know a great deal about him. He was obviously signed for here when I was at Leicester City, and he'd obviously then gone back out on loan to Shamrock, done really well. So I was keen to see Johnny in January, bringing him in, and I've been really, really impressed by him. I think he has a real natural instinct to score goals. You know, 25 yards in, he can finish. He works so hard at his game. His movement's really, really clever. He arrives, makes good runs, arrives in the box, into good areas. And I still think there's a lot more to come from Johnny. So, yeah, we were all delighted for him last week. His first start, getting his first goal. You can see what it meant to him. See what it meant to his teammates. They were so happy for him. Yeah, I've really enjoyed working with Johnny.
And first full season next year with Celtic after coming back. Do you give him a hope of, you know, getting to Ida's level in that squad, or do you think maybe that's fanciful to think?
No, I think he definitely has the potential to get there. What I would say is Celtic within Scottish football are a huge, huge club, so they can always go and cherry pick, and they have the finances to spend a couple of million here or there to drag somebody in. So he will have to make his presence known. He will have to shove himself down Brendan Rodgers' throat and keep telling them, I'm the man, I'm the man. And look, when you look at obviously Adam Eady, you've got Jota, Nicholas Kuhn there as well, Dyson Maeda, there's some really good players playing ahead of him. But he's in a brilliant place. It's sort of like the Evan Ferguson. You want him to be playing football. You want him. But we're all looking at him through Irish eyes and thinking we want him playing well because we want him in the Irish team straight away. He's in a brilliant place. He's learning off some really good players. He's got a brilliant manager in Brendan Rodgers. So just leave him. Just be patient. We need to be patient. There'll be times when Johnny Kenny needs to be patient. But what he did last season at Shamrock Rovers, not just within the League of Ireland, particularly in the European campaign, His ceiling is very, very high, and he's one that gets me very excited. As there's a couple of them that get me very excited, but you just need to cool your jets and let them develop, you know, bit by bit.
A very generous text in here from an unnamed contact. Best of luck to Manchester United and Tottenham in the Laurie Maher Shield final tonight. And then Patrick's been in touch to ponder, is there any way both teams can lose tonight? Which I think is a question a lot of people would have. And that is why I think Tottenham fans and Manchester United fans, whoever wins tonight, will see this as one of the sweetest victories they will ever have, because every single other fan base will think they are utterly undeserving of it.
Yeah, it's brilliant. If you're a United fan or a Spurs fan and you win tonight, you'll be walking around like a peacock. Everybody will be taking shots at you, but you'll just be shooting them all down. And look, if this was Arsenal in the final, I'd be thinking, I don't care as long as we get Champions League football, and I'd be flaunting it at everybody. But again, it's, you know, if this wasn't Spurs and Manchester United, if this was a so-called lower team within the Premier League, I think we'd all be wishing them on, and I hope to get Champions League football. It's the fact that it's Spurs and Manchester United, and the remit for those two clubs at the start of the season would have been to get Champions League football through their place within the Premier League, and they've been a million miles off that. And it's a strange one, because I've looked at United's route to the final, and they've played some brilliant teams, Lyon, Bilbao. They've scored 7 goals in those two fixtures over the two legs. But this is a Premier League game within a European final, and I think it could be an awful, awful different experience to what Manchester United have experienced within the Europa League. So I'm really excited to get going, but it's brilliant to be a non-looker and not have any skin in the game here. Yeah. And just think, let's just rip lumps out of each other and give us loads of drama.
Yeah, hopefully that's exactly what happens, but I'd imagine it's nerve-wracking for both fan bases. We will, of course, be keeping you up to speed and everything that happens in Bilbao tonight. Keith Tracy is going to be with us until 10 p.m. And as I say, we'll stay on OTB Sports Radio after 10 p.m. tonight if it does go to extra time and potentially penalties as well. Cameron, thank you for tonight's news round. Gerry Thornley and Wednesday Night Rugby is up next. Before that, time for the Cash Machine.
This Thursday night, we're wrapping up the Premier League season with a brilliant live show at the Goat Bar in Dublin. Going to be joined by Liverpool legend Steve McMahon and a couple of Irish legends as well. Glenn Whelan and Richard Dunne are going to be along. That's this Thursday night, the 22nd of May, at the Goat Bar in Dublin. To get your tickets, head along to offtheball.com/events. It's all with thanks to Guinness. Never settle.
In case you missed this morning's Off the Ball breakfast,
we had this.
We've had great success over the last few years, but I think that performance the other night maybe embodied what Offaly was about over the years. Seamus Darby's late goal, the 94 comeback. Everyone was afraid of Offaly coming down the stretch.
And we also had this.
Now I come from a different sport, obviously, but I'm almost emotional for Offaly. It's absolutely inspiring, and it's such a blueprint for everyone. You said other counties. gutter sports. I've just been blown away with the last sort of 15, 20 minutes, and I'm glad it's being heard nationally.
You can catch everything from this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast elsewhere on the Go Loud app and every weekday morning from 7:30.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.